Good morning. Again, it is wonderful to be here this morning. Good to see each of you. Man, the altar looks beautiful, doesn't it? The sanctuary looks beautiful. But again, I've got the best view, because I get to see a bunch of smiling faces. It's good to see each of you this morning. I'm blessed to be here and celebrate with you. It's Palm Sunday already. Man, we're beginning Holy Week. I'm so excited to celebrate Holy Week with you as we commit this time to worshiping a risen Savior. I know that I'm committed to worshiping, and I know our church is committed to worshiping. And this morning, as we begin celebrating Holy Week, a lot can happen in a week. I mean, a lot can happen over the course of a week. If we look at Holy Week, we celebrate Palm Sunday today. We celebrate Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem. We celebrate crowds of people celebrating His entrance. And then on Monday, Jesus goes to the temple, and He doesn't like some of the things that's going on there, and He kind of drives out some money changers and some things that shouldn't be going on. And then Tuesday, He goes to the Mount of Olives and teaches His disciples. Wednesday. Not a whole lot's written about Wednesday. We know that Wednesday's the day that we think that maybe Judas did decide to betray Jesus. Then Thursday, Maundy Thursday, which we're going to celebrate in a few days, Jesus serves His disciples. He serves them a meal. He washes their feet. He serves them to the end. He goes to the garden. He teaches a lesson on the way to the garden. And He knew what was going to be happening. But He taught anyway. And then Friday, we go from a trial where some of the same people who were welcoming Jesus to Jerusalem were shouting Hosanna on Sunday, were shouting crucify Him by Friday. We see Jesus suffering for us, His death and His burial on Friday. Then on Saturday, Jesus is in the tomb. But praise the Lord, Sunday morning, Jesus rises. And today we're celebrating a risen Savior. But I just want to go over the timeline just for a few minutes before we concentrate on Palm Sunday. I can tell you I love you. I love serving Him with you. And this is the day the Lord has made. And I'm going to rejoice, and I'm going to be glad in it. I'm going to start by reading some scripture. I'm going to read Mark chapter 11, verses 1 through 13. When they were approaching Jerusalem at Bethpage and Bethany, near the Mount of Olives, He sent two of His disciples and said to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says anything to you, just say this: the Lord needs it and will send it back here immediately." They went away and found a colt tied near a door outside in the street. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, "What are you doing untying the colt?" They said to them what Jesus had said, and they allowed them to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and He sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut in the fields. Then those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Then he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. On the following day, when they came from Bethany, he was hungry. Seeing a fig tree in the distance, he went to see whether perhaps he could find anything on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season of figs. He said to it, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." And his disciples heard it. And this is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the scripture. Lord, I pray as we study your word this morning and we celebrate the beginning of Holy Week, Lord, that your words flow through me, Lord. I pray that everyone here, everyone who may be listening online, Lord, they receive your message. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And again, this morning, I do want to talk to you about some of the events of Holy Week. I want to spend most of our time talking about passion. Talking about passion. Passion in its true meaning. Again, Jesus' triumphant entry. When he enters the city, people are celebrating. They're shouting Hosanna, which means it's a prayer for Lord, save us. Save us. Who needs to be saved this morning? Who needs the Lord to relieve them of something this morning? Hey, the people of that day, the people shouting, they needed to be saved. They needed to be saved. And they were celebrating the Savior. Again, this morning, I'm concentrating mostly on passion. Passion. Have you ever been passionate about anything? Have you ever had passion shown to you? But passion in its true meaning means to suffer. It means if you have passion for something, it means that you're willing to suffer for it. You're willing to give things up. You're willing, again, to suffer. According to Webster's dictionary, when referring to this week, passion is defined as suffering. And it goes on to say, the suffering of Christ between the Last Supper through his crucifixion. See, passion is one of the words in our society, though, that's lost its true meaning. We've watered it down so much. Passion originally means, again, to suffer. But now we can be passionate about anything. We use that word to describe things that we like. We use that word to describe sports teams. We use that word to describe so many things. But this morning, I want to talk to you about passion and its original, its true meaning, which means to suffer, not the watered-down version that we hear today in society, but the type of passion that Jesus has shown us. Remember, the word passion means to suffer. Mark chapter 11 gives us details in Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem. As I read this, I'm drawn to the fact that everything in the story that I just read had a purpose. Everything had a purpose. And everything in the story was obedient to the purpose. You see, the two disciples that were sent to get the colt, to get the donkey, served a purpose. They were obedient to their purpose. The two bystanders that questioned them, when they told them the Lord needed it, they were obedient to the purpose. Even the donkey was obedient to his purpose. Even the donkey was obedient. Sometimes we get lost in ourselves and we think we can't do some of the things we think we may have been called for, but if the Lord can use a donkey, I promise you he can use you. I've started to rename the sermon a couple of times. But I've decided not to. But again, the donkey served the purpose. The disciple served the purpose. Praise the Lord, Jesus was obedient to his calling. He was obedient to the reason why he came. Some of you just now getting what I started to rename the sermon to. Rodney, you don't have to worry, I'm not going to say it. All right. Jesus fulfilled the reason he came. Again, Jesus came into the city with fanfare. He knew his person, his purpose. He knew what was going to happen, but he's still passionate and he was still obedient because of you. He was obedient to his purpose because of you. That's how much he loves us. Again, by Friday, some of the same people who were shouting, "Save us," were shouting, "Crucify him." Again, Jesus came to save us. Jesus came to save them. But they were looking for a king. They were looking for a savior who was an earthly savior like they could understand. They wanted to be saved from their circumstances. They wanted to be saved from some of the things that were going on physically around them. You see, Jesus came for a much deeper purpose. He came for a spiritual purpose. He came for an eternal purpose. His purpose is to save us from our sins, not our circumstances. His purpose was to save those people of that day of their sins, not of their circumstances. So again, the same people who were celebrating him and shouting Hosanna shouted crucify him on Friday. And then properly part of the part of the scripture that is most hard for me to understand. When we get to verse 12, Jesus comes on the fig tree. And it says the fig tree was not in season. But when it didn't have fruit, he cursed it. You see, Jesus calls us to bear fruit. He calls us to bear fruit. He calls us to tell people about Jesus. He calls us to transform the world. He calls us to make disciples of Jesus Christ. And we have to do that in season and out of season. Sometimes I feel like spreading the good news. Sometimes I feel like staying at home and resting my voice. But if I'm in season or out of season, I've got to tell people about Jesus. That's the only fruit I have. That's the only fruit that I can bear. And I've got to be ready to do it at all times. You see, we have a purpose. Each one of us has a unique purpose when it comes to the kingdom of God. We're all called to do something. You see, God put us here to fulfill our purpose. He created us. He knew us and knew what our purpose was even before we were born. You see, we're so uniquely made. And he loves us more than we can even imagine. He made us all for a purpose. See, I have no doubt the Lord's called me to be a son, a husband, a father, a brother, a teacher, and a pastor. See, he's blessed all of us. And he's called all of us. He's given us different talents, different gifts. You see, we're all called to spread the good news of the gospel. I'm called to teach and I'm called to preach. And it's wonderful because I love doing both of those things. I'm passionate about both of those things. And when your passion and your calling meet, what we call that is ministry. That is ministry that's guided by the Holy Spirit. It's not ministry that's about us. It's ministry that's about a risen Savior. Each one of us has a unique calling. Some of us are called to make things look pretty. Some of us are called to greet people. Some of us are called and talented enough to sing in the choir. Luckily today, my voice is not great. You didn't have to put up with that for me today. But some of you, most of you have beautiful voices. We're all called in a unique way. We're all called to present the gospel. We're all called to celebrate a risen Savior. Not just when he's entering the city, but also when things get tough. Have you ever had tough times and you thought, I don't know how I'm going to get through the day? We're still called to celebrate Sometimes I don't understand why bad things happen to good people. I don't understand some of the trials we go through. But I know that God promises us in Romans 8:28 that everything's going to be okay. It's all going to work out. And God can make good things out of bad situations. For those who love Him are called to a specific purpose, to His purpose. You see, God has called us to bear fruit. We have to know what our calling is. And we have to be committed. And we have to be obedient. And we have to be passionate to carry that calling out. And you may be sitting there thinking, I can't, I can't, I can't. I know the first time the Lord spoke to me and said that He wanted me behind the pulpit, I said, I can't. And I said, I can't for a long time after that. And you know what? I was right. Unless I fully submitted to His calling and relied on His Holy Spirit and His perfection, I'm not good enough to do this. It's not about me. It's about proclaiming the message of a perfect Savior. I'm not perfect. But you see, God has a history of using imperfect people to carry out His perfect mission and His perfect mission, message. He used the Samaritan woman at the well with not such a good past. He called her to carry out His word. He used tax collectors like Zacchaeus. He used Peter who denied Him. He used Paul who persecuted Him and Christians. God has a history of using imperfect people for His perfect mission. If He can use these folks, believe me, He can use you too. He can use me. You see, through Christ, you can't say, I can't, I can't. Through Christ, you can. Through Christ, we can. You see, we are good enough. Not on our own. We're not good enough. If we try to do things on our own, we're not. But when we rely on the Holy Spirit, we rely on a risen Savior, it's unlimited, the ministry we can do. You see, as Christians, I think that we're all passionate for a period of time. I think we're all passionate for different periods of time. And then we get distracted. We often get distracted. I know I get distracted. We get distracted and that passion we kind of lose it for a bit. You see, we face a lot of distractions. I often say that about kids, and some people think that I'm just taking up for kids and excusing kids' bad behavior. But I'm telling you, most kids want to do the right thing if they're in the right situation, but they get distracted. They get distracted. I've seen kids make some very poor decisions. But guess what? As adults, we get distracted too. I get distracted more often than I like to admit. You see, we have to remember the one who's distracting us, the one who's trying to get us to make terrible decisions, knows our weaknesses. You see, Satan knows what to tempt us with. And he uses those weaknesses to tempt us, that those temptations literally come between us and our relationship with Jesus Christ. See, in John 10, Jesus explains Satan's goal to destroy us. He says, the thief only comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I come to give you life and give it more abundantly. Thank God for that but. The thief only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. You see, the devil is not trying to give you a bad day. He's trying to distract you from everything that has to do with God. He's trying to separate you from the one who you're proclaiming. And he does it with some things that you really like. He does it to me with things that I really like. And we get distracted. And we let those distractions come between us and our relationship with Jesus Christ. We can notice a difference. We can notice that we're not passionate enough to do some of the ministry we used to do. Sometimes when we go through that, we let those things get in between us and Christ, we realize that things are hard. Ministry can be hard. But when we rely on the Holy Spirit, we're just following Him. We can accomplish things. Not through us, but through the Holy Spirit. Through a risen Savior. Through a Father that loves us. Again, we have to remember that Satan is the great deceiver. He's evil, and he wants to destroy our relationship with Christ. Some people think that Satan wants to give us a bad day. He wants to stump our toe. He wants us to stump our toe. But what he really wants us to do is when we stump our toe, when things go bad, is to turn our back on this cross right here. That's what Satan truly wants to do. Again, he knows our weaknesses. You see, that's why it's crucial for us to keep the passion. It's crucial for us to rely on His Word. It's crucial for us to rely on prayer. It's crucial for us to go out and serve other people without being distracted. It's crucial for us to keep that passion, to avoid the obstacles, so we can grow our relationship with Jesus Christ. Again, we do this through His Word. We do it through stewardship. We do it through worship. We do it through fellowship. We heard a sermon series like that not too long ago. And sometimes when we're trying to do those things, that's when we're tempted most. So we have to go back and we have to rely on our prayer life. We have to rely on His Word. We have to serve each other. We have to build our relationship. John Wesley taught us the importance, and I preached about the importance a few weeks ago of following three simple rules. Does anybody remember those three simple rules that we talked about? Do no harm, do good, stay in love with God. See, believe it or not, the third rule is the one that can be the most difficult. You see, it's true because Satan is persistent. And what John Wesley means by stay in love with God is to remain passionate in Christ. To remain passionate in doing His will. That's what John Wesley's talking about. These last few years, some of the time, we've gone through some tough times. We really have. I mean, I'm blessed to be at Chestnut Hill, and I'm so thankful I've been through these hard times with you all. With us. Because I know over these past few years, we've continued to worship. We've done it in different ways, but we have continued to worship a risen Savior. We've continued to love each other. We've continued to love and serve our community members. And we're continuing to celebrate Easter. You see, because again, Jesus didn't come to save us from our circumstances. He came to save us from our sins. I want to challenge each one of us to keep bearing fruit, to keep spreading the good news of Jesus Christ. You see, God still has a purpose in all of our lives. We don't get too old to live out that purpose. Our purpose may change a little bit. The way we minister may change, but He still has a purpose for each one of us. Because we're still here. Keep doing God's work. Keep serving each other. Again, He's created us for a purpose. He's given us everything we need to fulfill that purpose. And I urge you to continue. I urge all of us to continue being passionate for Him. To continue to be obedient for our purpose. And again, to keep bearing fruit. This morning, again, I'm so thankful to be here to celebrate Holy Week. And I pray that I continue to bear fruit. I can pray that I continue to be passionate. You see, we've got a hurting world that needs to hear the gospel. We got people who need to be saved. And we've got a Savior who came, died, and rose from the grave for each one of us. If you're here this morning or you're listening online and you don't have that relationship with the risen Savior, I pray that this morning you make that decision. Or this morning, if you've been on this journey for a while and you've walked with Christ, if you've been distracted and you've got a burden that you need to lay at this altar, I pray that this morning you come and let Christ have it. It's hard to be passionate when you're weighed down with burdens. Those burdens need to be left at the foot of this cross. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for all that you do in our lives, Lord. I pray that we each remain passionate for you. Lord, this morning, if there's anyone here, anyone listening online that doesn't have that relationship with you, Lord, I pray that you bless them this morning, Lord. They open their eyes, they open their heart, and they receive a relationship with a risen Savior, the one who died to save them, the one who rose on the third day so they can have eternal life. Lord, I pray that you continue to bless our church, our community, as we serve each other and we love each other, Lord, in your name. And Lord, it's in your name that we pray all these things. Amen.